Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Penguins and Flyers tonight at the arena. Jeff Carter will make his Penguins debut. That's your headline. Brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. Empowered by Bowser. Fan Hotline is brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitis. Our next guest is the unofficial Pony and Muller NFL draft analyst from CBS Sports. He is from the same tree, the Carnegie Mellon tree, as who are some famous alums? Ted Danson?
Yeah, Ted Danson, Holly Hunter, I believe.
Ooh.
So strong drama department. The
David Tepper?
Team. David Tepper has a building named after him. There you go.
Josh Groban and Ryan Wilson. You just heard his voice there. Putting together the iconic list of Carnegie Mellon alums.
You know what? Since he's a Carnegie Mellon alum, I would go so far. We call him our draft analyst. I think you get elevated to guru status when you went to Carnegie Mellon.
You know what, Chris? I agree. I think that's right.
I'll take it.
Are you okay
after
with that, Ryan?
Abuse,
can we call you guru?
Absolutely. I've been taking so much abuse for this draft process on Twitter. I'll take anything that's laudatory.
Why is it that way, Ryan? What have you been doing? What has been your take that has – I'll even start. I'll do an icebreaker here. I want to hear your take that has gotten you some abuse. Mine was Najee Harris is Eddie Lacy 2.0. Hasn't gone well for me.
Yeah, that's extreme, and I've heard a lot of things. I don't know if I'm so far as to call him – call him the Hamburglar. I don't love that he's
the Hamburglar. No, come on. Now, here's the thing I want to say, though. I could have used Trent Richardson, but Eddie Lacy was a little bit taller than Trent Richardson.
No, you
he
used
like
Eddie
5'9".
Lacy for effect because knew that was going to get the biggest pop.
Well, yeah, it was. You're right, because I am smart and I am calculating. But here's the thing. I look at Najee Harris, and when I watched all the highlights, and I get what everyone says about him, Ryan, and I'm only bringing him up like this because I know the Steelers have had him mocked to them more than probably any other player. But I look at a guy who didn't – like, I don't look at him as a breakaway player. I look at him as a guy that, yeah, he might churn some solid runs. I know Eddie Lacy, first 2 years of his career was pretty good. He looks heavy-footed to me. That is the best way I can describe it. Every time I watch him run, it looks like he is heavy-footed. I don't know how else to explain it to you other than that. And that also maybe to me contributes to, like, this lack of breakaway runs that he had.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't see that. I think last year, 2019, I think he did himself a service by coming back and made himself some money. He is my running back one, but I expect Travis Etienne to go first. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Javonte Williams, UNC, went before Najee Harris. So I understand that the trepidation at 24 of taking a running back there, especially I don't know if the top three running backs will be there at 55 when the Steelers are back on the clock. I think all three of those guys could be gone. But there are other options later in the draft, and we've talked about that before. But I like Najee Harris.
So how do you rank him, Ryan? Rank your top three running backs for us. Give us the Ryan Wilson
top three. Yeah, Najee, Travis Etienne, and then Javonte Williams. And they're all extremely close. Look, I could do with one as easily as the other two. I think Najee Harris – I think he's a little quicker than you're giving him credit for. He's bigger, obviously, so you sort of harken back to the Trent Richardsons and the Eddie Lacy's just because he's bigger in the Alabama ties. But I think he's quicker. He made a ton of guys miss in the open field. He's a threat in the pass game, which obviously is important to what the Steelers want to do. But, again, so is Travis Etienne. So you could get your bang for the buck there as well. But that is funny that that's the pushback you got. The thing that people actually hate and have hated for some time is me being high on Mac Jones for the last 4 or 5 months. I've had him going into the top 10.
Man, the Mac Jones.
Ryan, do not use. We have a wonderful app. It's called Audacy, AUDACY, and you can rewind live radio and go. It's like radio, but, you know, DVR almost. Do not go back and listen to what I said about Mac Jones earlier this hour, because you and I are at loggerheads there with him.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? I'm not alone. People have very visceral reactions to Mac Jones versus Justin Fields, or Mac Jones virtually versus anyone. And you know what's funny? I was talking about this today on the podcast we do for work. And let's just
Let's pump it. Give us a little pop. What's the name of it? We want to go listen to it, Ryan. What is it called?
Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports. We cover all the NFL stuff. And so here's a sort of a thought experiment. Let's imagine best case scenario for Mac Jones, best case scenario for Justin Fields, because those seem to be the two schools that are battling, the Mac Jones versus Justin Fields. Let's say best case scenario, Mac Jones ends up being Peyton Manning, and best case scenario, Justin Fields ends up being Patrick Mahomes, just on the style of play that they have,
sure.
not anything else. Who are you taking over the next 10 years? Because my point is that it's hard to choose, and we don't know what these guys are going to look like 10 years from now. Yes, Mac Jones, like I joke all the time, he looks like he should be, you know, at the beach drinking six-pack. I get that. But maybe he's really good if he can get past the physical appearance. He has a great personality, if you will. But I feel like we have to be willing to open our minds into what he can become, putting aside for the moment that he has a pot belly.
Give me your top three offensive tackles. Well, actually, you know what? I don't want to do that, because I want you to leave out the Oregon tackle. I want you to, outside of the Oregon tackle, give me your top three offensive tackles, Ryan.
Okay, so no Penei Sewell. So number two on the list is Rashawn Slater, who will probably end up kicking inside to guard, but he has the ability to play tackle. We had this conversation with Jonah Williams years ago. I think he's better than Jonah Williams outside, but he could be an all-world Pro Bowl-type guard. Elijah Vera Tucker, another guy at USC who played tackle last year, will probably have to kick inside the guard. But Christian Darius out of Virginia Tech would be the legit first guy there who is destined to play left tackle. Really good. Right after him, I have Tevin Jenkins, the right tackle at Oklahoma State. And then after that, Sam Cosmi, the left tackle out of Texas. Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Ryan, who's the – I know we ask about, like – and Mac Jones, this probably would apply to him, but I don't want to ask it about him. We always ask for, like, the highest ceiling guy, like, because everyone, I think, wants to believe, who's the guy that if my team drafts him and everything works out, he's going to be a Hall of Fame type of player, right? Of all those tackles you mentioned, though, who has the highest floor of them, where, like, there is the least chance that they are just going to turn out to be a total bust in the NFL that it never clicks for?
And for Sean Slater plays tackle, I think it's him. I think he's special, and he's incredibly athletic. He tested really well his pro day, but that athleticism showed up when you watched him play during the season. But if we're going with guys that we're 100% sure are going to play tackle, I mean, the easy answer is Penei Sewell. But I feel really good about Penei Sewell as a 20-year-old who has incredibly strong. The athleticism screams off the tape when you watch him play. He just hasn't played a lot of football, but it's one of those things where, despite the lack of experience, you feel comfortable taking him as a top 10 pick, let's say, and understanding that he's going to play at a high level just because he has all the intangibles that you look for when you're building an offensive tackle in the lab. And it's just a matter of getting the coaching and the experience. So could he bust? Of course. We it's so hard to sort of nail these guys down, but I would feel quite comfortable taking him with the understanding that this guy is going to be here for the next 7, 8, 9 years.
Who's your top center in the draft?
Let's see. It's Landon Dickerson with an asterisk because he's been injured. And the injuries are a huge concern for me. And I remember talking to teams about this early in the year around the Senior Bowl, and that's what it came down to. You know, he's huge. He's 6'5", I think, and change, which is 6'6", which is huge for a center. But he can play all 5 offensive line positions. So there's versatility there. He played those positions at Florida State, transferred to Alabama, and was just dominating people. He's not an insane athlete, but guess what? You don't have to be an insane athlete to play center. So the health is the biggest concern for me. I know a lot of people like Creed Humphrey. I actually like Josh Myers at Ohio State a little better as my number 2 center. I have him as a third-round grade.
How about the kid that went to the, like, the
D3 school,
the Carnegie Mellon type school?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Whitewater. Quinn Miners showed up at the Senior Bowl, and I like his game a lot. It's incredibly hard to find Wisconsin Whitewater tape, but in talking to people that were at the Senior Bowl and that have seen him play, they loved the fact that he showed up in Mobile and wasn't scared. Because sometimes when you're in Mobile and you see these D2 and D3 guys feel overwhelmed, and you can understand they're playing against a bunch of Power 5 guys that are going to be first, second, third round picks. He had no such concerns. And in fact, he was dominant at times. He didn't play in the game because of an ankle injury, I think. But I was talking to Levi Owens-Zerike, the defensive tackle out of Washington, about Quinn Meinerz, because they went up on one-on-one drills. And I said, what was your first impression? He said, I couldn't believe how quick he was. Like, he had no point did he seem in awe of the moment of being there. And number two, he played football like someone you'd expect to see on Sunday. I like him a lot, too. I have him as a third-round grade. I think he's my fourth center. And a lot of the issue is just we haven't seen him play. Like, we talk about Trey Lance not having seen him play. I haven't seen Quinn Meinerz play a lot of football against big-time talent.
Ryan, is there any tight end that's going to be available in the later rounds that even, like, in the sense of being a project, not even an instant impact guy, the Steelers might be able to draft and have it turn into something for them down the, like, a year or two down the road?
Yeah, sure. So Matt Bushman is a guy that didn't play this year. He tore his Achilles. He at BYU tight end who was one of Zach Wilson's favorite targets in 2019. I'd like him. Obviously, the question is he healthy? He's a pretty good athlete for an inline tight end. They move him around a little bit. I don't know what his health status is right now. I haven't checked in on that. But if you took him in the sixth round or seventh round on a flyer as to hoping that he's healthy, yeah, absolutely. A little sooner than that in terms of when you might draft someone. I like Hunter Long a lot out of Boston College. He'll probably be a third or a fourth round guy. Again, inline tight end. He can move around a little bit. He's pretty athletic.
My God, Jerkovic would throw the ball to him like every play. Because we watched BC a lot
because
of him and Pitt, and he was all over the place for them.
Yeah, so you talk to scouts, and they're like, yeah, I've had some scouts say they didn't feel there was that much difference between him and Freiermuth, which is pretty high praise, and I had other people tell me, he needs to be a better athlete. But again, you're playing tight end. If you are the inline guy, you're just running the seam routes and handling the short and intermediate stuff. We're not asking you to do what Darren Waller does.
Right.
He's a guy that can get better as a blocker and I think has a chance to be a pretty good pro.
Ryan Wilson, he is the unofficial draft guru for us here on Pony and Muller. Check him out, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ, and the Pick 6 podcast. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
See ya. There you go. Ted Danson went to Carnegie Mellon. What a legend. Ted Danson.
Pony, they've got to have, as far as, you know, institutions go, colleges go, they got to have the weirdest cross-section of things they're known for, right? They're known for actors and actresses, Hollywood
robotics
stars, and then just super high-level technology. It would be like if MIT was MIT, but like Tom Hanks and multiple other A-list stars went there. That's basically what Carnegie Mellon is.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Pirates game still not done. It's now pushing past the three-hour mark, and we'll give you a headline there. We're going to be joined by Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus next hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.